Good morning, everyone. I'm Frederick County Executive Jan Gardner, and I'm joined today by our County Council leadership, President M.C. Keegan-Ayer. We also invited Vice President Mike Blue to participate today, but he's unable to be here due to a conflict at work. But I want to thank you all for joining us for today's public information briefing. Today is truly an exciting day because we are announcing the first ever recipients of Frederick County's Rural Historic Preservation Grants. It's particularly exciting to see our efforts to preserve our history and the special sense of place that we enjoy in Frederick County now and into the future. Frederick County residents love our rich history, and they tell us that all the time. And we value preserving pieces of that history so that future generations will understand its significance. The county is home to hundreds of historic sites, structures, and districts. We have done an outstanding job of preserving our rich history in our urban core. Until now, we've not really focused on our rural areas. And if we can protect our historic bank barns, our rural homesteads, and other cultural resources, we will be protecting pieces of our past that tell our story and make our community unique. Last fall, we announced a Rural Historic Preservation Grant Program to help us preserve these distinctive identities in our rural communities. Preserving historical structures and maintaining them can be very costly for the property owners. So this program provides competitive grants, which we will do each year, to help individuals or nonprofits preserve barns, houses, and other culturally historically significant structures in the rural areas of our county. To be eligible, properties must be located in unincorporated areas of the county, and they must be designated on the County Register of Historic Places or on the National Register, or they can be designated as a contributing resource in a historic district. A property also qualifies if the Maryland Historic Trust determines that the site is eligible for the National Register designation. Projects must be completed within 2 years, and all the work must be performed by licensed contractors that have demonstrated that they have the skills and expertise to do preservation work. Today, we are announcing the first ever recipients of Frederick County's Rural Historic Preservation Program. These grant applications went through a comprehensive review process that started in March once all the applications were received. And we did receive a lot of interest in the program, and we're very excited about that. So we did receive more applications than we had available funding, so it was a competitive process. A grant review subcommittee of the County's Historic Preservation Commission looked at each application, scoring them on the property's historical significance and on the value of the project that was being proposed. They took into account factors such as the urgency of the project, how much historically significant material would be retained, and any provisions for long-term resource preservation. Points were awarded to projects that leveraged funds from other sources. If a project included a match of funds, labor, or materials, that would count in the application's favor. They also weighed applications to ensure grants were awarded equitably across the county so that no one single geographic area received all the funding in a given year. The county's Historic Preservation Commission then reviewed what was recommended from the review committee, approved the scores, and forwarded those recommendations on to me. And of course, they do that in a public meeting. So the final step is for us to announce the awards today. So I do want to thank the County Council for their support of this initiative. Last year, we did approve funding to increase our preservation efforts through an increase in the county's recordation fee, which is charged on certain types of real estate transactions. The first $500,000 of revenue generated by the increase is set aside to support three programs: the Rural Historic Preservation Grants, affordable housing or first-time homebuyer assistance, and agricultural diversification or innovation grants, with the bulk of the money going to support and accelerate agricultural preservation. So I've asked County Council President M.C. Keegan-Ayer to be here today to help us announce our grant recipients. So let's get started. So the first recipient is Rocky Springs Schoolhouse. Rocky Springs Schoolhouse was constructed in 1830 and is one of the oldest one-room schools remaining in Frederick County, actually remaining in all of Maryland. The building is located on Rocky Springs Road near the intersection of Kemp Lane. The one-story structure includes an unusual foyer, built of fieldstone and native timber. There is a concrete block addition to the backside that was built around 1930. The stone building served as a school for 90 years as part of Frederick County Public Schools. An 1858 map identifies the site as PS number 26, public school number 26. From 1839 until 1882, the school also served as a house of worship for the Church of the United Brethren in Christ. The United Brethren denomination recognizes Rocky Springs Schoolhouse as one of its pioneer church schools. During the Civil War, there was a skirmish at the Rocky Springs Schoolhouse between the 8th Illinois Cavalry of the Union Army and the Confederate Army's 1st and 2nd Maryland Cavalries. The fight took place on July 8, 1864. An interpretive Civil War trail marker now sits on the property. 25 years ago, the schoolhouse was listed on Maryland's Inventory of Historic Properties. In the decades since, the schoolhouse has fallen into disrepair. The roof has collapsed and stones and bricks have fallen in, and large cracks have developed in the stone walls. In 2015, the Historic Rocky Springs Chapel, Inc. assumed oversight and ownership of the structure and began raising funds to stabilize it. Phase one was completed in April of 2020 and won the 2021 Maryland Preservation Award for Excellence in Institutional Rehabilitation by the Maryland Historic Trust. The County Rural Historic Preservation Grant of $45,526 will go toward phase two of this project. Funds will be used to rebuild, repair, and restore portions of stone and brick walls. Ultimately, the goal is to use the schoolhouse as a public center for historic interpretation and research. The property has been recommended by the County's Historic Preservation Commission for listing on the County Register. So you can see that's really a valued piece of property. The William Downey Farmhouse was built about 1760 along what is now known as Dietrich Road. One of the earliest brick homes in the area, the house acquired its name in 1814 when the original owner's granddaughter, Cordelia Dorsey, married William Downey. The home was a wedding present from Cordelia's father, Basil Downey Jr. The farmhouse was expanded not long after. A room on the second floor served as the first meeting place for the Masons in Western Maryland as early as 1776. A hand-carved overmantel displayed a chart and emblems of the Masonic Lodge. The building is listed on the Frederick County Landmarks Foundation's official register of historic properties and has been recommended by the Historic Preservation Commission for a listing on the county's register. The property and other nearby farmsteads are part of a 1,200-acre district that is currently seeking to be designated as a rural historic district known as the Peace and Plenty Rural Historic District, which is located on the east side of Maryland Route 75 between Newmarket and New London. The Historic Preservation Commission has recommended approval of the district, which will now go before the County Council for their approval. The family that lives in the William Downey Farmhouse now actively farms the surrounding land, which is part of the county's agricultural land preservation efforts. The farmhouse structural integrity is threatened by the deterioration of bricks and mortars on the exterior walls. The $50,000 grant will be used to repoint the deteriorated mortar joints and to replace broken bricks. Renovation of this historic farmhouse will preserve the historic resources and serve as a model for other farming communities that may want to form a rural district. The next award goes to the Linganore Farm on Linganore Road. The Linganore Farm on Linganore Road has witnessed a significant amount of change over the past two centuries. The farmhouse was built to support a farming operation. Over time, the property transitioned to related industries. In 1858, the site was known as Linganore Mills and was home to a prominent merchant and milling complex, as well as the Linganore Distillery. The water wheel-powered mill produced 14,000 barrels of flour a year, and the distillery generated 20,000 gallons of alcohol. By the late 19th century, the grounds transitioned again, this time into a resort known as Linganore Hills, where dozens of guests from Washington and Baltimore have spent their summers. The resort building no longer exists, but the farmhouse and its inset two-story porch remain. The house is one of five contributing resources for the property's inclusion in the National Register. The property is also listed on the County Register. The owners plan to use the county grant totaling $45,360 to replace the first floor and a section of the second floor of the porch and to make repairs to the porch roof. Funds will be also be used to repair 56 windows, shutters, and trim. The next property is the Basil Harding Farmhouse. The Basil Harding Farmhouse on Green Valley Road near Newmarket was first constructed around 1800. An addition was built in 1885. The farmstead includes a frame and stone bank barn with an attached wagon shed and corn crib on the west gable end and a machine shed next to the crib. The property has been recommended by the HPC for listing on the county's historic register. Like the William Downey Farmhouse, the Basil Harding Farmhouse is part of the Peace and Plenty District, although unlike Downey, the Basil Harding Farmhouse is currently vacant. Land around the home is actively being farmed. The owner and her husband will use the $46,800 grant to remove and replace the existing metal and shingle roof on the house and porches with standing seam metal roof. The current farmhouse roof is believed to date back to 1885. Seems like time for repair. So with that, I believe the next four will be announced by Council President M.C. Keegan-Ayer. So I'll turn it over to her.
Thank you. Okay, our next grant recipient is Smith's Store. The Smith's Store sits in a prominent location in Urbana, visible from three directions at the intersection of Urbana Pike and Urbana Church Road. Also known as the Thomas A. Smith and Company Store, the original structure was built around 1815. The property began as a one-room dwelling with a loft and stone cellar. A two-and-a-half-story home was built nearby in 1830, and the two buildings were connected by a brick addition in 1860. The front entrance is unlike any other in the region, with its shuttered side panels with bolted drop panels revealing a six-panel inset French door. I don't even know what that means. Okay. All right. There you go. There's a picture of it. Thomas A. Smith bought the building in 1862. Over the years, it has served as a home, a store, a post office, a blacksmith shop, and a tavern. Mr. Smith was known for recruiting soldiers for the Union Army, which made him and the store targets for Confederate supporters. The store clerk was shot, and Mr. Smith and his assistant postmaster were kidnapped and assaulted. The building is currently utilized for retail space. The property is listed on the county register. The building's current owner, Trans Type of Maryland, Inc., requested $26,055 in county grant funds to replace the existing metal corrugate roof over the building and the back porch. Plans include repairing the exterior wood framing at the eaves, repairing 17 windows, three stoops and doors, and replacing damaged bricks. The Crown Rose Main House. Historically known as Oakland, Crown Rose Estate on Jefferson Pike in Petersville was constructed between 1856 and 1860 by Dr. Horatio Claggett. The property sits directly across from the entrance to Othello Regional Park. Over the years, an array of structures were added to the agricultural property. There are two spring houses, a smokehouse, a bank barn, a cottage, and, just for good measure, a Cold War-era bomb shelter that was built in 1962. The property is listed on the county register. Today, Crown Rose Estate hosts weddings and other events to help the owners, Tara and Todd Leiden, fund the upkeep that is needed for the property where they actually live right now. Overall, the property is in good condition and is a significant resource, but the wood is rotting in places, leaks are damaging the building, and some of the original glass is in need of repair. The couple will use the $50,000 Rural Historic Preservation Grant to install exterior storm windows and doors on the main house, which will prevent long-term damage. The Henry Brandenburg property. The Henry Brandenburg house in Myersville is sometimes known as the Beidel Hill Farm. Built in 1818, the brick home is an example of the typical Maryland Piedmont farmhouse that is found in the Middletown Valley. The property includes a smokehouse, a spring and wash house, a bake oven and shed that are distinctive to that period in this rural area. The property has been deemed eligible for listing on the county register. Owner Eric Scott Winnett plans to use the $50,000 grant to repair several buildings on the property. The front porch on the house needs its flooring replaced. Several items will be restored to material that more closely matches the original, such as a storm door that will be replaced with a wood frame storm door, and asphalt shingles on the smokehouse that will be replaced with wood shake or standing seam. Flooring will also be replaced on the porch to the spring and wash house building. Wood and railing posts on the porch will also be added. The Daniel James Farmhouse. The stone Daniel James house on Old Annapolis Road was built in 1791 and includes both German and English influences in its architecture. George Washington and General Lafayette both were known to have visited the Daniel James house. In the mid-1800s, there were about 200 slaves working this property. On Emancipation Day, 42 slaves left the farm. The house features unusual construction of what is believed to have been a summer kitchen, with a banked roofed shed stone addition, which is now falling apart. For the past 35 years, the farmhouse has been empty. Mortar has deteriorated and water leaks have damaged the structure. The property, currently owned by Jason and Sandra Storm, also falls within the Peace and Plenty Rural Historic District in the eastern part of Frederick County. The farmhouse is part of an active farm. The property has been recommended by the Historic Preservation Commission for listing on the county register. With the help of this $44,625 grant, the first phase of the restoration project will restore two chimneys and two of the four elevations. The work will involve cutting out and replacing broken mortar joints and stones in the north and west elevations and rebuilding the two chimneys. Back to the county executive.
Thank you, President Keegan-Ayer. I appreciate your participation today. In total, 8 grants were awarded today, and you can see that these grants will make a difference to the maintenance of historic structures all around our county. I do want to thank our Historic Preservation Commission and their committee members for their work on this first round of grant applications. It's always the hardest. And Amanda Whitmore, who is our Historic Preservation Planner, for her work to make this program a reality. And like I said, every time we do something for the first time, it does have its biggest challenges, and we learn from that and may improve what we do over time. Frederick County's Rural Historic Preservation Grant Program is one of the first of its kind. We believe it is the second in the state of Maryland and one of only a handful across the United States. So this program is another tangible step in Frederick County's implementation of our award-winning Livable Frederick Master Plan, and we're very proud to be able to be taking this action to protect what we value and love about Frederick County, our rich history, our agricultural heritage, and most of all, our people. So before we conclude today's briefing, I do want to speak on a couple of other topics, the status of COVID-19 in our community. I want to share a bit of news about the phased reopening of county government buildings and re-announce a grant program to continue our support for our local small businesses so that they can recover and thrive again. Certainly, the pandemic has been a long and challenging experience for all of us. Frederick County employees have provided essential services throughout the pandemic, though sometimes we provided these services in new, different, or unique ways. Staff's been very creative. While some services, such as public safety, have continued to function relatively close to normal during the entirety of the pandemic, other services shifted to virtual, curbside, or something entirely new. Meetings have been conducted virtually with live public input. The libraries have offered an incredible amount of digital programming and content, along with curbside pickup of library materials. Senior services began delivering groceries to seniors, something we did not do before the pandemic. Frederick County government continued our day-to-day operations. Citizens could depend on water and sewer service, trash disposal and recycling, permitting and plan review, which successfully went entirely virtual, and certainly snow removal and road maintenance. All of the essential services that the county provides continue to be delivered while the county also managed the addition of a massive response to the public health emergency. This included a large mass vaccination effort, a call center was stood up, COVID testing, the delivery of PPE to meet community needs. I really cannot say enough about the resiliency and dedication of county employees. And I'm not even mentioning all of the grants and all of the rental assistance and just so many other things that we've done over the past 15 months. Over 600 county employees shifted either part-time or full-time to do work that they had never done before. And because they are dedicated to, and they did that because they're dedicated to serving this community and to helping people. So I want to offer my deepest thanks to our county workforce for their outstanding service over the past 15 months. It's really been incredible. We can be proud of the public service and selfless service that our employees have demonstrated. Now, our health metrics have improved significantly. So beginning Tuesday, July 6th, all county buildings will be open to allow the transition of employees back into their offices or workplaces, though we will continue the flexibility in allowing telework. A new telework policy has been drafted, and employees will need to have their supervisor or division directors approve their telework. Now, one of the successes of the pandemic has certainly been telework, which in many instances has resulted in increased productivity. It's really been amazing what we've been able to do through telework. As an employer, the county certainly has an obligation to keep our employees healthy and safe. So for now, masks will continue to be required whenever employees are in public areas of county buildings or in meetings or gatherings of employees. But certainly when people are alone in their office or at their desks, they do not need to wear a mask. Starting August 2nd, county buildings will transition to a phase-in of the public with limited public access that may be by appointment. Because the county provides a wide array of services, divisions have the flexibility during this transition to make sure that customer needs are met and to phase in that public access as they see best. Effective Wednesday, September 1st, all county buildings will return to normal operations and will be fully open to the public. At that time, employees and members of the public who are fully vaccinated will be no longer required to wear masks in county buildings as of that date. Unvaccinated employees and unvaccinated members of the public will be expected to continue to wear masks inside county buildings. I certainly want to thank all the county employees and everyone in our community who's been vaccinated. Vaccination has really helped to tamp down the spread of the virus, and it's helped us to make this transition back to more normal activities. And that is certainly everyone's goal. The vaccines work. The vaccines have demonstrated that they're safe and effective. Vaccines have really been successful in slowing the spread of the virus, and vaccinated people are well protected from illness and death associated with the virus. Almost 10,000 people in Maryland have died from COVID over the past 15 months, including 330 in Frederick County. These are our friends and our neighbors, and there has been an incredible and sad loss of life. Unvaccinated people remain at risk, particularly as new, more contagious variants spread. So if you are not yet vaccinated, the time is now to get your vaccine. Again, the vaccines work, they're free, and they're widely available now. You can schedule a time at one of Frederick County's clinics by calling 301-600-7900, or in Spanish, 301-600-7905. Or you can go to the webpage, frederickcountymd.gov/COVID-vaccine, and schedule a specific time, or you can do a walk-in. You can also visit many of our local pharmacies or your local physician. Again, I really want to encourage people to get vaccinated. We need to get a really high number of, really high percentage of our population vaccinated to make sure that we do not have any of these variants cause a surge of illness among those who remain unvaccinated. The past 15 months has proven our county's resilience and our ability to pivot in order to deliver results and to take care of people. It's been challenging, but we've proved that we can do it and that we are a resilient county government. This has also been true for our community and our businesses. I recently toured some of the Main Street small businesses in downtown with Congressman Trone and was really impressed by the optimism and the resilience these businesses have shown. To help these businesses thrive again, Frederick County has provided well over $15 million in grants over the past year. Today, we are opening another round of grants. $3 million will be awarded through the Frederick County Small Business Grant. Now, I did announce this previously when I announced a series of four grants about a month ago, But this is the last of those in that group. So the small business grants, the application period opens today and runs June 17th through June 21st. You can find information about it at discoverfrederickmd.com. And again, we're going to accept applications through the 25th at 3 p.m. The small business grants are for businesses that have really not been the focus of many of the previous grants that have been out there, which have been industry specific. The small business grants I'm announcing today will help retail stores, personal services like hair salons, barbershops, nail salons, some of our agricultural operations, and more. To be eligible, a for-profit business must be located in Frederick County, must have been operating prior to October 1st, 2020, and must have 50 or fewer employees, both part-time and full-time. A lot of the grants over recent months have really targeted the hospitality and lodging industry, food service, restaurants, craft beverages, and child care providers, all industries that were hard hit but were not available to these other types of businesses. So we're trying with this small business grant program to fill that gap. Small business grants will be offered in two tiers based on the number of people that the business employs. Grant funds will be awarded and money will shift into bank accounts by the end of August. So it's a quick turnaround time. So get your application in and we'll process them, award them, and send that money into your bank account. We really have done a lot to try to support the recovery of our small businesses in our community. And I think this has really made a difference to many of them. But as we open up, we know that people still are challenged, and so these grants will continue. The application and information, again, on how to apply is on the county website, which really actually on the Office of Economic Development's website, discoverfrederickmd.com. So I know all of you, and I hope all of you are as excited as I am by today's announcement in the historic preservation grants. We really appreciate the interest and the success of the first round of this program. And we all look forward to the bright future as we reach beyond this pandemic. Thank you for joining us for today's public information briefing. Have a good day and stay safe. With that, we're adjourned.